Rock Touchdown Club. It's the zone, and I tell you, Phil, we've talked everything this morning between the Battle of the Ravine, Razorbacks, Razorback basketball. Now it's something a lot of folks love to talk about. Also, Matt Harris joining us. Good to have you. Brought to you by Exceptional Physical Therapy. Mm-hmm. But we have Chris Hayes, the featured speaker for the Little Rock Touchdown Club today, talking about recruiting.
Yes, now, it's a topic that is near and dear to the hearts of many Arkansans that are listening in here.
Yes, mm-hmm. And Chris, glad to have you in Little Rock.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
I heard it was a long night for you getting in here, and you might be a little short on sleep.
No, it's not too bad. The weather delayed a lot of things yesterday, though, so I had to drive in from Memphis last night.
Oh, yeah, all good. Across the country, people were dealing with that. Glad you made it safely.
Now, Chris, let me ask you this. You handle national recruiting, and you talk to all these. My first question is, I've always wanted to know this from a recruiting guy. How do you keep up with all these kids and stay in contact with them and find out where they're going and what they're doing? I mean, how do you build those relationships with these guys?
It works through the summertime, really, when you get to see them in person, because they come to Florida to come to 7-on-7 tournaments and camps and whatnot. So developing face-to-face relationships has worked best for me, because then when you're calling them, they know who you are and they can put a face to it. But as they get more attention, they'll start changing their numbers and so people can get a hold of them. So it does get a little difficult.
I imagine Facebook and Twitter and stuff like that's going to help as far as staying in contact with some of these guys rather than having to pick up the cell phone and call them.
Yeah, it's been a big tool for me. Facebook and Twitter becoming more so, and coaching staffs across America have also realized that, and Facebook has become a big tool for them.
How did you get necessarily into recruiting as your specialty? Because it looks like you've had a pretty long and varied journalistic career in sports. But what was it that got you to center on recruiting?
Well, quite honestly, it was an effort to build up content on our website as we kind of steered away from the print edition. We're backing off on that kind of thing. And recruiting was certainly something we could delve into and really boost some of our readership online. And we took that approach in 2009 with our first rankings and things like that, and it's just really blossomed since then.
Is this sort of a new thing over the last maybe 10-15 years, where recruiting has become such an important — it's always been important to the lifeline of any college sports program, and that's no surprise, but I guess the focus on it nationwide now seems to be something that I don't necessarily remember much when I was growing up.
No, it wasn't there, because back then they didn't have things they have now, like Huddle, where you can see a film on any player in the country. Things like 247 Sports or Rivals.com, mm-hmm. who are spread out across the country as well. And any fan of any team can go and see exactly who they're recruiting and know what's going on. Back then, it was phone calls, and if you got tape in the mail, you're lucky.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Let me ask you this. I'm looking over some of the top kids in the country. Just by looking, and this was according to ESPN, their rankings, but I'm looking over the top six, and it looks like Alabama's already right there grabbing a couple guys that they've already had committed.
Shocking.
Is it one of these things, are kids starting to say, I really want to go to Alabama before it's all said and done? Or, I mean, are they actually giving other schools an opportunity to really make their push?
I think early on they do look at Alabama right away, or the upper echelon schools, but what kids have to look at is, can I get on the field?
Yeah.
And that's going to be a problem for anybody who's going to Alabama.
Yeah, it is.
Let me ask you this. Now, I don't know, as far as I know, you do national stuff, but when it comes to the Razorbacks, Brett Bielema comes in, brings in a different type of offense than what they were used to before. I know we've heard Rafe Peavy coming to Arkansas. What's your thoughts on the Razorbacks right now as far as bringing in some big names to try to help bolster what they've got going?
I think what they're doing is the right approach, and certainly they've brought in some people like Randy Shannon, who has familiarity with the territory in Florida.
Florida guys.
So they can hit down there, especially South Florida. And, I know Bielema wants to bring in the smash mouth sort of running game football, and they got a guy who can do that in Alex Collins, as well as the guy who's ahead of him right now.
Yeah.
So, the cupboard was kind of bare in terms of that type of offensive flow, and he's starting two freshman offensive guards right now, I think, so it's going to take a little while.
Yeah. I feel like he's recruiting against brands that almost recruit themselves in some cases, when you're not just in this conference but in this division, where, I mean, Alabama, the brand, seems to almost recruit itself. LSU in the same way, and there's not that many programs that can do that, so it seems that those big-time programs like that, it's a different kind of recruiting than what Arkansas, especially a first-year coach like Brett Bielema, has to try to do.
And I think players are becoming more aware of what the coaches' names are and who they are, and they've even had times where they dealt with Bielema probably when he was at Wisconsin, yeah. so they already mm-hmm. know. But, you know, Matt, you could probably speak to that a little bit more, what it means to kids these days as they look at the list of schools. And is it a big deal when somebody's in the top 25, probably?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely it does. You know, you take that little number by the school pretty serious, but for me, it did go back to, can I get on the field? Am I getting recruited by these Alabamas, Texas, USC, Notre Dame? Or do I want to go to a, you know, 15, 20 school and have a guy that's a senior starter right now? I can go in, get some special teams, learn from him, and I'll be on the field as a sophomore and get a three-year starter relative to Alabama. But, you know, you're seeing things now where at Alabama it's almost like a baseball theory. You play one or two good years and you're out. So these guys are getting they're just like a revolving door of five-star recruits that are like, hey, I'll sit on the bench for a year, play special teams for a year, get my start on defense for a year, and I'm out of there. And then I'll bring the next guy up and tell him the same thing that I did. Hey, take a year on special teams. I'm gone after I'm going to the NFL. I'll make my millions. You learn from me. You know, and I come from Dallas, Chris, I kind of wonder about recruiting because I was a heavily recruited two-star.
you and Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, exactly. And that kind of goes to what my – you know, you look at these Fresno States in the rankings, and they play kind of nobodies, and you get these highly recruited five stars from the Delta of Arkansas, and then you get an under-recruited guy from the city of Dallas-Fort Worth, where there's more people than the whole state of Arkansas. So how basically do you rank recruits? I mean, do some guys in the bigger cities fall under the wayside? And, you know, it's like getting that five-star recruit that never pans out, and you get a one-star like a Johnny Manziel, a two-star that – turns up out of nowhere. Does that kind of just shock even yourself? How do you rank recruiting?
Yeah, for me, in terms of rankings, I go for the wow factor and a kid's motor and what he does. Especially, I watch senior year. A lot of kids take senior years off when they're maybe committed early and yeah. they aren't playing. And sometimes that can even lead to injury when you're not playing 100%.
Yeah,
but
right.
It's really more for me in person watching games instead of film, because film's always not gonna give
yeah,
you
bad
put
them, yeah right.
It's almost like the job of a scout in baseball, where you have to look at a teenager and project what that teenager yeah. will be like in the next 2 to 3 years. And that's such an inexact science,
yeah.
because you're looking at his physical attributes, and then you've also got to take into account mm-hmm. you know, the growing mind and yeah. the growing emotions. That's why somebody like, you know, Johnny Manziel, two-star recruit, might fly under the radar, but you know, who would have been able to project that he is doing what he is doing right now?
Yeah, exactly. And they also got to look at these kids from an off the field mentality. Are they strong enough to take this to the next level in terms of whether it's education or whether it's just dealing with the everyday pressures of basically living by yourself, even though you are
yeah.
more than a normal student.
But the pressures that these students are dealing with, even in that senior year, I mean, you talk about the impact of social media
yeah.
on recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the things that are directed at these kids when they are making one of the most important choices in their lives.
Yeah.
And really
yeah.
it's all about the impact upon them and their family.
Oh yeah.
But people across the country, fans, take it so personally, and I'm shocked at the vitriol that is displayed towards teenage kids based upon their choice
yeah.
of school.
Oh, they really get hammered on Twitter when they don't pick the right school.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of these guys, right when they make their announcement, they'll back off and not even look at their Twitter account
mm-hmm.
anymore.
Or just delete the thing.
Yeah, delete
yeah.
the thing.
Well, you know, we're starting to see kids, and I know that it's happening up in Springdale right now, and we've seen some other, you know, across the country where they've really made this almost a dog and pony show, where they'll release their top five on Twitter and then allow the nation to go crazy on whether their, you know, their school made it into the top
yeah.
five. And to me, you know, it doesn't seem like 10 to 15 years ago, I mean, there was not this much I guess, media coverage or even just coverage of recruiting, but it's really turned into a showcase for an athlete to I'm going to reveal my top five on this day, and
mm-hmm.
it's all I just don't know if I like that. I mean, do you like that? Have you seen some negativity towards that?
I've seen it, and some of the things that the kids are trying to do these days to make their announcement more special than the last guy, it's getting a little bit out of hand. I've even had guys tell me they want to announce their top 13. I was like, well, what's the point?
What's the point of that? Yeah. Well, I don't know.
People love lists.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I'm looking at the polls here.
Yeah.
And I've got five different polls
yeah.
right in front of me. Everybody loves a poll
yeah.
and a list.
Yeah. Well, my brother came out in 2003, and he played at the University of Richmond in Virginia, and he had to send out VHS tapes. really? So you were saying, I mean, if you're lucky to send a tape out 15 years, I mean, that was 10 years ago. I came out in 2005, and I committed before my senior year at the University of Arkansas, and I was one of the first kids, or that was like the first generation of rivals. There was no huddle. There was no All-American. There was no Max Emvinger. There was none of that. Rivals was the only thing, and I sent out like five DVDs, and that was a stretch. You had to go to like a professional and find someone, hunt them down in the city. I mean, someone in the state of Arkansas, and back in 2005, I mean, nowadays it's so easy media-wise, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, take your pick. Facebook was the only thing around back in 2005, and high school kids weren't even allowed to get it.
Yeah.
When you got a college email, that's when you could get Facebook.
Yeah.
And nowadays, heck, I mean, anyone can get it. And so these kids are, I mean, I don't want to say taking advantage of it. It's almost in a positive way for them because they're just.
My grandmother's got Facebook.
Yeah, they're self.
Everybody's got it.
Everyone's got it. And they're self marketing themselves. It's a business. It is a business. And a 17-year-old who got a driver's license a year before is one of the heaviest businessmen in America because of our fascination with A, social media, and B, college football. They're combining the two and just becoming, I mean, enormous in it. And just like that.
Which has made everything start so much earlier in the process. Yeah. You're seeing eighth graders with college visits and getting it's commitments.
Just
and
crazy.
Like
and it fuels, and you know, that kind of interest fuels your blog.
Yep.
And
it does. Yeah, you love it.
It's almost because somebody started it in 2005, everybody just jumped on, and it's just blossoming into out-of-control wheel now.
Mm-hmm. Chris Hayes, senior writer for the Orlando Sentinel. He's the featured speaker today at the Little Rock Touchdown Club. Chris, hey, thanks for the time, and looking forward to what you have to say today.
Thanks for having me, Greg.
All right, Chris.
That is Chris Hayes of the Orlando Sentinel joining us.
You know, back in 2000.